Bibles. Evidently in Sunday school they got one today, King Ahab, who was another example of a wicked ruler. But we have a modern day example of that up in Canada today. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan." Proverbs 12:10 says, "A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." In Canada, they have experienced over the last couple years an excessive amount of misery. They've experienced lockdowns for the last 2 years, quarantine hotels. If you left the country and came in, you had to pay for your own stay at a quarantine hotel. They've had curfews in many of their major cities where you couldn't be out after 8 o'clock. Mandatory masking, mandatory vaccination, and just control. They say follow the science, but there isn't much science behind what they're doing. And so the people are miserable and have been for some time. Another thing that an evil ruler or a wicked ruler does is he enacts evil laws. Isaiah 10:1 says, "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed." And Ecclesiastes 7:7 says, "Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart." Canada has passed many evil laws, especially as of recently. They passed a vaccine passport where you could not cross the border in a commercial capacity unless you had a vaccine passport. And even before that, even just to go into grocery stores and just to get goods, you had to have a vaccine passport. And so these protesters, the truckers who were being shut down, their livelihoods taken away from them, and nothing else, no other way to alleviate their problems, decided to protest. And so they gathered together a group of people, a group of truckers, and started from each end of Canada and headed to their capital to protest these evil laws. And while they were on their way, Trudeau, their leader, said, "Yes, we will get out of this pandemic by vaccination. We all know people who are..." Actually, this is actually before the truckers started. This is before, when they were doing the vaccine passports. Says, "Yes, we will get out of this pandemic by vaccination. We all know people who are a little bit hesitant. We will continue to try and convince them, but there are also people who are fiercely against vaccination," said Trudeau. "They don't believe in science. They're often misogynists, also often racists. It's a small group that muscles in, and we have to make a choice in terms of leaders, in terms of the country. Do we tolerate these people? Or do we say, hey, most of the Quebecians, or Quebecois people, 80% are vaccinated, and we want to come back to things we like doing. It's not those people who are blocking us." And he didn't tolerate them. He passed a vaccine passport law that blocked them from just going about their basic lives. And then he escalated that to blocking people's livelihood. And so those truckers gathered together to exercise their right to peaceful protest. Trudeau said, "The small fringe minority of people who are on their way to Ottawa holding unacceptable views that they are expressing do not represent the views of Canadians who have been there for each other, the views of Canadians who know that the following the science and stepping up to protect each other is the best way to continue to ensure our freedoms, our rights, our values as a country." But the people of Canada were not on his side. They were on the side of the truckers. And so they rallied to support these convoys, and they raised over $8 million to support them. Then those in leadership got that fundraiser shut down on GoFundMe. And so they moved over to a Christian fundraising website, GiveSendGo, and they raised another $8 million. And they were there, peacefully protesting. Well, Justin Trudeau did not like that. And so he passed the Emergency Act, just at the beginning of this week, the Emergency Act, which used to be the War Powers Act, literally declaring war on his own people. Ecclesiastes 5:8 says, "If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter, for high official watches over high official, and higher officials are over them." One part of this Emergency Act allows the government to freeze the bank accounts of their political enemies. Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland said, "This is about following the money." And that's what they did. They've frozen bank accounts. The guy that was just interviewed that you saw there, his bank account was frozen, and many others. Then they canceled Parliament, so the people's representatives could not point out to Justin Trudeau his hypocrisy and embarrass him on the national stage again. So they canceled Parliament and then used the heavy hand of government to attack their own people. Trudeau sent the Canadian Federal Police to violently attack the people who were not violent in return. That is an example of a wicked ruler. And I want to contrast that with a story out of 2 Samuel chapter 16 and an example of a humble leader. And this is King David. And I want to set the scene for this. King David is been king, and his son has tried to overthrow his kingdom, and he got some of the tribes to go along with him and to announce him as their king. And King David has basically rallied back, and now he's going out from tribe to tribe to get the nation of Israel back under his rule. And so he's out there with his men, his mighty men, his people, going from tribe to tribe. And it says in 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 14, "Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came. He threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also, Shimei said thus when he cursed, 'Come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought you upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. And so now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man.'" Now I want you to think about that. Here is David, right? He's trying to get his kingdom back. He's trying to win over the hearts of the people. And there's this guy that is just walking along and cursing him and cursing him and cursing him. We all know what we would want to do, right? He's throwing rocks. And he's pointing out what he believes to be our past transgressions. So, one of David's mighty men, Abishai, says, Abishai the son of Zeruiah said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head." If you watched any of the Ottawa City Council meetings, that phrase might have come out from one of those meetings. But what was David's response? The king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" And David said to Abishai and all of his servants, See how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite, let him alone and let him curse. For so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and kicked up dust. And now the king and all of the people who were with him became weary. And so they refreshed themselves there. How different humility. And I want to draw a couple of things from that passage. First of all, David was willing to endure cursing. He was willing to endure it. That is not easy. It is not fun. It is not anything anybody wants to sign up for. Everybody likes to be praised. He was willing to endure cursing. Secondly, he protected the man who spoke against him. Think about that. Think about the humility that's required to see somebody who is trying to attack you, trying to vent their frustration, and to say, "No, don't hurt him. Let him be." And the last thing was, he appealed to God for justice. David's platform was not before his people. It was before God. David's actions, he wasn't so much concerned about what would be told to the people around them. This guy rose up against David and was throwing rocks at him, and David didn't do anything. I mean, could you imagine what the newspapers would have printed? But what was David's concern? David's concern was about God. God sent him here to curse me. And if I endure this cursing, God might bless me. Was he insulated? Well, maybe to some degree, because he kept saying, "Come out, come out." But we also see from the text that he became weary of hearing this. Humility requires looking at things from other people's perspective. Humility requires putting others' needs before your own. We also have another example of a leader, a perfect leader, and that is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25 says that Christ endured affliction from his enemies. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25 says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Christ was willing to endure affliction from his enemies, and he endured affliction for his enemies. Romans 5:7-10 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, and yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Not only did Christ endure affliction from his enemies, he did it for us, who were enemies of God at the time. And Christ is a perfect leader because he was willing not only to endure affliction, but he reconciles us to God. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." A humble leader is somebody who's not only willing to listen and to learn what those who are against him say, not only willing to endure affliction, but out of love seeks their best interest. That's what Christ has done for us. He has now become our ambassador, and he has brought us into a reconciliation with God the Father that we would not have had otherwise. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, in different ways, many of us here are leaders, whether it be in our own homes, even over our own lives. Maybe we have leadership positions at work. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us to not rule with an iron fist, to not rule out of hatred, but rule out of love for the people that God has placed in our path. Whether it be our children, whether it be our co-workers, whether it be our wives, Lord, let us rule well. Let us lead out of love. Lord, each one of us are followers in different positions, whether it be in government, whether it be here in our church, whether it be at home. We all have a responsibility to encourage our leaders to follow you. And as Don gave us that lesson, we need to pray. We need to give words of encouragement to our leaders. It's not a fun job all the time. But Lord, we also need to hold them accountable. With honor, with respect, we need to hold them accountable. And when they do wrong, we lovingly come alongside and say, "Hey, this is not the right way to go." We cannot become complicit in watching our leaders do wickedness to our neighbor. That is not love. That is not good. Lord, I pray that you would challenge our hearts this morning to seek you, to honor you, and to follow you, because you are the perfect leader. And if we follow you, Lord, you will bless us. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to stand for our last